Thanks, Nathan. This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. About one-fifth of Maryland's voters took part in the primary, setting up some clear choices for the general election in November. And with us now to analyze what the voters said is WIPR State House reporter Chris Conley. Good morning, Chris.
Good morning.
And also with us in the studio is Baltimore Sun reporter Luke Broadwater. Welcome back to the show.
Thanks.
As we've been hearing from Nathan this morning, Lieutenant Governor Anthony Brown won the Democratic primary with 51% of the vote, more than Doug Gansler and Heather Mazier combined. In the Republican primary, Anne Arundel real estate broker Larry Hogan won with 43% of the vote, well ahead of his nearest rival, Harford County Executive David Craig. Chris Connolly, what is this Hogan-Brown race going to look like?
I think that this basically becomes now a referendum on the last 8 years. I mean, you have Brown, who's sort of run as a continuation of O'Malley's policies, but better. And then you have Hogan, who launched this Change Maryland organization to really kind of cement his name as an opponent of O'Malley's economic and tax policies. And so I think in a lot of ways, they're sort of going to be hashing out whether or not the last 8 years have been good or bad for Maryland.
Much more around economic issues, jobs, growth.
Definitely.
Than about social issues?
Definitely. I think that if Brown has his druthers, he would make it about social issues.
What in particular do you think he might want to focus on?
I think that he wants to focus on a lot of the kind of progressive changes that have happened in the state. I think that he wants to drag Hogan into a conversation about gun control or about same-sex marriage, you know, that would benefit him. Hogan has really tried to steer clear of talking social issues during this past campaign, and I think that that's his way of speaking to more moderate Marylanders that he might be able to, you know, crib from the Brown camp, you know, either more moderate Democrats who are concerned about taxes in the state, or from independents who are unhappy with the economic situation.
Of course, there's a lot of attention nationally to the Tea Party, and some Maryland Democrats are trying to attach that phrase to Larry Hogan. Luke, do you think that's going to work?
Yeah, I don't know about that. Larry does sometimes embrace what you would call the Tea Party rhetoric. He talks a lot about the rain tax all the time. It's, as I've pointed out, it's not really a rain tax. You don't get taxed more if it rains more, or taxed less if it rains less. But the Republicans have repeatedly, I think they think that's their winning phrase. And if they can keep talking about the rain tax, maybe they'll win. The problem for any statewide GOP candidate is there are twice as many Democrats in Maryland as there are Republicans. So unless you have a combination of a really weak Democrat who is gaffe-prone and seen as unqualified and a really qualified, charismatic, likable Republican, it's really hard to win.
Which race were you just describing in those races?
Well, I think everybody knows 8 years ago when Bob Ehrlich beat Kathleen Kennedy Townsend.
That does raise the point that no lieutenant governor in Maryland has ever succeeded in getting to the governor's chair, Townsend being one, Mickey Steinberg, who was Schaefer's lieutenant governor, being another example. Is there a message there for Brown? I mean, is there some reason Marylanders have not so far put a lieutenant governor in the governor's seat?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of people talk about that, and I think that's more of a, in my opinion, a more interesting historical fact than it is a real barrier to Brown winning. Brown has lined up all kinds of incumbent support from across the state. He has a ton of money. It's just going to be very difficult to beat him. Now, maybe if Larry Hogan can get enough people upset about the 40 tax increases and the state of their pocketbooks, that could be a winning formula. But I think it's going to have to potentially be with some Brown missteps as well. It's going to be hard just to win on a pro-Republican message in a 2-1 Democratic state.
Congressman Elijah Cummings last night at Brown headquarters in College Park was sort of phrasing the passing of the baton way of looking at this race.
People basically wanted to make sure that they had a steady hand in the governor's office. They knew that they had had Anthony Brown working with the governor. And I got to tell you, I've been very impressed with what Governor O'Malley has done with Anthony Brown.
So that's the flip side of no lieutenant governor has ever made it to governor. Chris, you're nodding. You're about to say something.
Yeah, I mean, you hear this from all of the folks who are endorsing Brown, and I think that it's their way of tapping into the overwhelming satisfaction that Democrats have still with Martin O'Malley. It's a way of sort of saying, y'all like O'Malley, look how much more you're going to like Brown.
And that's basically what Larry Hogan's job is to
really try to undermine that. Exactly. Totally.
Let's go out to Frederick. After the upset a couple weeks ago in Virginia's Republican primary, when U.S. House Majority Leader Eric Cantor lost to Tea Party candidate David Brat, everyone's keeping a close eye on Tea Party upsets. And is that what we saw last night in Maryland's District 4, where incumbent State Senator David Brinkley lost to Tea Party candidate Michael Huff?
I think you can accurately characterize it as that. Brinkley was sort of seen as a moderate Republican. He was a leader in the state Senate, and he got decimated. I mean, he got destroyed. It wasn't even close.
It's like 2-1.
Yeah, it was. I mean, I thought that was going to be a close race, and Huff just blew him out of the water. Now, I talked with him late last night, and he said that people in Western Maryland are extremely dissatisfied with Martin O'Malley. They're extremely dissatisfied with anyone who is even perceived as going along with Martin O'Malley. So he made that the focus of his campaign. It was a shot at the establishment, and it was wildly successful out there. It's so interesting because Maryland is so different in different parts. And the same rhetoric and points that will be incredibly successful in the West would fall on deaf ears in lots of the metropolitan areas of Baltimore and Washington. So it's almost like a completely different state. And he said he felt like all of his voters feel disenfranchised being part of Maryland. They almost don't feel like they're part of Maryland. And that's why he won in such large numbers.
And while we're outside of the Baltimore area, in Anne Arundel, the Republican primary for county executive, Delegate Steve Hsu pretty decisively bested incumbent Laura Newman, 54-46. What was at work there?
Well, I think you see Steve Hsu has a lot of support from the party out there. He had Bob Ehrlich out there campaigning for him. And I think that he was able to kind of mobilize that. He also has good name recognition in the area. You know, he was a delegate representing part of Anne Arundel. And so I think that people know him already. Mm-hmm. And Laura Newman is still, I mean, she's the incumbent, but she's still a relative newcomer. And so I think that Steve Hsu was able to capitalize on that.
Any sense of what the general will be like? They're facing Sheriff George Johnson in the general.
All I can say is that's been a Republican seat. That county's getting actually more Republican. So I think the primary was largely seen as the tougher of the two tests. That said, I don't think it's unrealistic for a Democrat to necessarily win in Anne Arundel. I think it's just going to be difficult. As for Hsu, as you pointed out, I mean, Newman is relatively new to Anne Arundel politics. Hsu has long roots in Anne Arundel. He had a lot of longtime supporters and a lot of longtime money there. Laura Newman essentially she was in Howard County. She was
working in Howard County,
right.
living in Anne Arundel. Yeah,
but she's not a politician in Anne Arundel. Not gaining support. People weren't used to voting for her. She had never been elected.
And says she's not going to run again. This is Maryland Morning on WYPR. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Baltimore Sun reporter Luke Broadwater and WYPR State House reporter Chris Connolly about the results of yesterday's primary in Baltimore City. State's attorney. Democratic primary race. Marilyn Mosby defeated incumbent Greg Bernstein by a clear margin, 55-45. Bernstein had served one term as prosecutor. Mosby is a 34-year-old lawyer who worked in the state's attorney's office for 6 years. Luke Broadwater, was that a surprise?
I don't think it was a surprise if you followed the race closely. That said, I think a lot of people, including maybe the Bernstein team, were surprised. Bernstein had largely tried to ignore her, and that strategy seems to have completely backfired. Marilyn Mosby ran a very aggressive campaign despite being only 34 years old, despite having never prosecuted a murder or a rape.
And a much smaller campaign chest than Bernstein.
She was at community meetings all the time. And one thing she did that was very smart is anytime there was a TV news story about any crime in Baltimore, whether it had to do with the state's attorney's office or not, I'd see Marilyn Mosby on TV talking about how terrible Baltimore's crime is. I had people, as I was going around the polling stations yesterday in Baltimore County, saying, I wanted to vote for Marilyn Mosby. Why wasn't she on the ballot? And I said, well, you live in the county. You can't vote in city elections. But the but that's the kind of campaign she ran. She got her message out there that, and it touched into this nerve that Baltimore's murder rate is unacceptable and you should be outraged about it. And having a, I guess, sort of staid approach where you talk about all the good you're doing and how professional you are without ever seeming really upset about the murders, I don't think resonated with voters in Baltimore City. And so despite his experience level and his success during his 4 years with many of his prosecutions, Greg Bernstein's campaign just fell really short.
I want to ask you about one of the legislative races in the city, the 43rd District. Joan Carter Conway held off Baltimore City Councilman Bill Henry. But first, Chris, let me ask you, is there any, looking at kind of all the legislative results, is there any trend or any, I mean, do you get a sense of how different the legislature is going to look?
I don't. I mean, I think that, you know, there were a number of races where, you know, the incumbents were being challenged and taken on, and you know, I don't see a clear through line of who won and who lost and why. Really
and
coming
how,
in, I think that people are sort of, you know, I think maybe that what one can say is that there is a sort of baseline level of some dissatisfaction across the state with voters, but not the kind that's going to have, you know, real overhaul happening through the electoral process.
Well, let me ask you about that 43rd legislative district race, Luke.
Sure.
Why was Joan Carter Conway able to hold off Baltimore City Councilman Bill Henry?
Well, a couple reasons. I think a lot of people who live in Bill Henry's district really like him and they think he's a good city council member. That said, Joan Carter Conway had a ton more money. She had the whole slate behind her. With the sitting delegates, and then she also has a leadership position in Annapolis. So she had a lot of powerful allies on her side, stacking up against Bill Henry. Had very little money, and beside being kind of well liked, it was going to be hard to beat someone with that much power.
We have to leave it there. We're out of time. Lots more information on WIPR's website about the primary results, and Dan Rodericks will have more on midday at noon. I want to thank you both.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Chris Connolly, he's WIPR State House reporter. Luke Broadwater is City Hall reporter for the Baltimore Sun. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, redefining the burger. Stay with us on 88.1.